Good morning. Nice to see you all. I'm a bit cold, I am. I wish I wore my pack of socks this morning and boots. Got my sandals on. Okay, should we just pray before we start looking at some things this morning? Yes, Lord, I thank you so much that you have drawn each and every one of us here today. And Lord, as we just come and spend some time looking at your great word, we just pray that you would open our hearts to hear what you would say and that you would help us in our lives and to really bless us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, anybody contending in the Olympics will have had to go through some vigorous training, endurance and perseverance. And so this morning, what we're going to be looking at is that lovely word, perseverance. Now, in life, as we know, there are times when we do find ourselves persevering. In our relationships, in our friendships, in our jobs, in church life, in ministries. And there are lots of things where we find ourselves having to persevere in different seasons. And in life, as we know, there will be times of trouble, of difficulty, and of testing. And during these times, we have a choice of whether we're going to stay on track, persevere, and push through, or give up, give in, and walk away. And so this morning we're going to have a look at some principles of persevering to encourage us in our faith and in our walk in life. Now, as we know, the Bible teaches us to persevere through such times, and it is one of the greatest biblical virtues that we can put into practice in our lives. And whilst it's not the easiest at times, it certainly does lead to strength. Now, what I'm going to look at now is a little clip. Some of you may have seen this before. It's just a two-minute clip of a very inspiring athlete. And this athlete, his name is Derek Redmond, and he competed in the 2002 Olympics out in Barcelona. And this is a little clip of him finishing the race. Oh, isn't that inspiring? Amazing, isn't it? Amazing, all that training, all those years of endurance and perseverance and hard work, and for that to happen, but he finished the race. Okay, so what is perseverance? Staying on track. The Greek word for perseverance is hupmon or hapmon, don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, and it basically means to remain steadfast, to stand steadfast, and it is steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty, despite discouragement, and despite delay in achieving success. And it is the continuance in a state of grace to the end. And what a state of grace that was, wasn't it? He finished and he went to the end of his race. And so today we're going to look at some of Paul's letters to Timothy and glean some principles of living an overcoming life so we can be encouraged in our faith when perseverance is needed. Okay, so you can look in your Bibles or some text is going to come on the screen. Now, the first letter of Timothy was written by Paul, and it was to give encouragement and instruction to Timothy. Now, Timothy was a young leader, a timid guy, and he was one of Paul's closest companions, and he became Paul's protege. And he was pastor of a church at Ephesus, and as a young minister, Timothy would have faced many challenges and many trials of all sorts and pressures. And so to counsel and encourage Timothy, Paul sent these very personal letters. And one of the key verses is found in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "Don't look down on anyone. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity." And so note to young people, regardless of age, God can use you, whether we are young, whether we are old, or anywhere in between. Live so Jesus sees in you. Live so that others see Jesus in you, in your speech, in your life's decisions, through your love, in your faith and in purity. Now, Ephesus was a centre for sexual impurity. Many there would have worshipped the goddess Diana. And the church there must have been full of people who had faced, you know, loads of sorts of temptations and problems. And equally so today, I suppose, in our modern technological world, there is so much out there for people to look at and to fall into temptation. And especially for young people, it's a completely different world now, isn't it? Where there are so many temptations out there. And so guarding ourselves in purity is really important as we grow spiritually. Persevere in purity. Now, I don't know about you, but there are certain films out there and they all have different certificates, don't they? PG, 12, 15, 18, etc. But even some 12s these days, I've watched, and I'm shocked at the content, you know? And for young people today, you know, as soon as they're 12, they think, oh, right, I can watch all the 12 films, great, let's watch all the 12 movies. But there are certain movies, even with a 12 certificate, that I wouldn't allow my 12, 13-year-old to watch because of some of the inappropriate scenes and content. And so it's really important for young people, and all of us really, that we guard ourselves in purity, that we're careful what we're allowing into our heads, what we're allowing our children to watch. And obviously, as they get older, it's really difficult, isn't it? Because, you know, there's so much available out there. When I was little, I don't think we had a bedtime routine, and I can remember falling asleep on the settee, and, you know, the soaps would be on, and the news would be on, and then a late night film would come on. And even at a very young age of sort of 6 and 7, I can remember scenes from films like The Poltergeist and Halloween and all these sort of horror movies. And, you know, once those images are in our heads, it's very difficult for them to go away. And I suppose even now, 30 years later, you know, I can still recollect certain scenes from like horror movies of years ago. And I think, you know, it's really important that we guard our children and our young people and ourselves in purity, and that we persevere in what we choose to watch and what we allow young people to watch. So persevere in purity. And the second book of Timothy, when Paul wrote his second letter to Timothy, his situation had changed drastically. He was now a prisoner in Rome, and he was facing certain death. And famous last words of notable people tend to be really important, don't they? They are sort of like a window into their heart or a window into their soul. And here we see Paul dying, not dying of a disease in a sterile hospital with loved ones around him, but here we see him facing certain death in a damp, dark Roman prison with just one or two visitors to visit and his writing materials. And so Paul knew that he was soon to be executed, and so he writes his final thoughts, his final things to Timothy and to the church, passing on to Timothy the sort of torch of leadership, and passing on his final thoughts and instructions to the church, reminding him and reminding us of the things that are truly important and encouraging us in our faith. And one of the key verses here is Paul. I don't know if it's actually him. Probably not. Obviously. Key verse here is in chapter 2. And there's a little bit of text. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarrelling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of God. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. That's powerful, isn't it? And these were some of Paul's last instructions to Timothy and to us. And these things are so practical and simple, and yet so important, so important. And the verse I want to pick up on is verse 15, where it says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." And here, Paul's teaching to us as believers is to get the word of God, his handbook for living, the Bible as we know it now, inside of us, to read it, to know it, to chew it, to apply it and to live it. And as we do, we feel that we draw closer to God and we grow not just in more knowledge, but we get answers and we get divine encouragement for life. How important it is to teach children from a young age the stories, the characteristics, God's nature, the principles of life. And as they grow up, they have it in them. And it's great to see young parents sort of teaching and training little toddlers, reading them stories, talking about God's ways, that as they grow up, they have the word of God in them. They know the characters, they know the stories, they know the principles. And as they grow up, they will be hopefully stronger in their faith as a result. And these days, it's a lot more accessible and creative now than just sitting and reading the Bible. We're all different. Some of us perhaps would struggle to sit at length to read lots of text. We're all different. And there are great ways now to get the Word of God inside of us, particularly for young people, with apps for iPhones and Bible on audio things and all these different things. And so it's great to be able to access God's Word at any time. I know Sam has a Worship Central app, and some of the young people here, they have these apps on their iPhones, and it's great that they can access worship music and God's Word, you know, any time. So that's really good and important to persevere in getting the Word of God inside of us. And Paul encouraged Timothy to persevere. It says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he endures to the end. The hard-working farmer works hard and hopes for the harvest." And here we see Paul using three images. Three images of three people who endure. Any soldiers, athletes, or farmers here? It's hard work, isn't it? You have to endure. And he used these comparisons of people who discipline themselves and endure hard times and even are willing to sacrifice to achieve the results they want. And so for us, in our relationships, in our work, in our ministries, with our families, in our marriages, raising children, in our health, let's continue to develop perseverance, just as a soldier keeps in mind the thought of victory, just as an athlete keeps in mind the winner's trophy, and just as a farmer keeps in mind the hope of harvest. Farming is hard work and can have many disappointments. And in life, it can be great, but there can be many disappointments along the way. But the rewards are worth it. Training to be an athlete, so I'm told, can be extremely demanding on the body and mind. But persevering through what people who run in marathons would say, the wall. Any marathon runners here? I know Alan is, and Gary and a few others. There's that experience where you hit a wall, is that correct? And it's meant to be like the time of, I'm either going to give up or I'm going to push through here. And this is a time where if pushed through that wall can be exhilarating and rewarding. Is that right? As well as exhausting. Yes, I'm sure. And here Paul was saying to Timothy, look, the important thing is, as you live in obedience to God, as you run this race, as we walk this earth, as we live this life, as we live it in obedience to God, no matter what people say, we are not running for people. We are not running for fame, but we are running to please Jesus and to hear those words one day, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your eternal rest. And that is why we persevere, isn't it? And I suppose our greatest glory is not in never failing, but in rising up every time we do fail. Jesus said that his followers could expect persecution. And in our faith, to believe in Jesus to the end will take perseverance at times, because it says, and we know, that our faith will be challenged, opposed, and contested at times. And so we're going to look now at some of Paul's final instructions. And these were, preach God's word, fulfill your call, be diligent and faithful. And whilst these are words to Timothy and the church back then, they are also encouraging words to us. Some of Paul's final thoughts, really important, the things he felt, you know, as believers we need to hear. Preach God's word. So what does that mean for us? Obviously, we're not Paul's and Timothy's, not all of us are going to preach. But for us, it does mean, you know, preaching, witnessing in our circles to our friends, you know, talking about Jesus, seizing the opportunities that we get with conversations with friends and families and people on our streets, etc. seizing those moments of opportunity, praying into situations that God will give us the opportunity to tell somebody, you know, the good news that Jesus is real and alive and has done great things. And inviting them along to things. As a church, we so want, you know, people who do not yet believe to come in and to find that hope and love of God. That as we put on events, it's not for event's sake. It's to, you know, really give an opportunity for people to find God through ways that are, you know, culturally relevant. And where they can come and enjoy and feel relaxed and normal and see that God is real, not sort of, you know, old-fashioned and irrelevant to them, but that we're putting on things that are really going to reach people where they're at today. And so for us, preaching God's word can mean witnessing, seizing the opportunities, inviting people along to things. Fulfill your call. Paul encouraged Timothy to persevere in his gift. At times, we are told, Timothy was quite timid, quite shy, needed encouragement to keep going. And that can be us sometimes, can't it? You know, there are times where we just need that, come on, you can do it, keep going. We all need that at times. Timothy was timid, he needed courage, and he needed to discipline to hang on to the truth and use the gifts he had already received. And so for us today, what does that mean? Well, God has called us to serve. He's called us here to serve as a body of people, and as Christians, we are called to serve individually too. And he gives us gifts to be used in his kingdom. In Acts chapter 9, there's a lovely story about a woman named Dorcas. Now, this woman made an enormous impact on her community through serving. She would make robes and make clothes and help the poor and serve people. And when she died, the Bible teaches us that the room was filled, absolutely jam-packed with mourners, probably all the people that she'd helped in her lifetime. And when she was brought back to life, it says, the news raced through the town. And God uses great preachers like Paul and Timothy and others, but he also uses those who have gifts of kindness, just like Dorcas. And so rather than wishing sometimes that we had other gifts or somebody else's gifts, make good use of the gifts God gives you. Let's make use of the gifts which he has placed into your hands, which he has placed into our hands, that we don't think, oh, this, I can't really do much with this gift. But let's use the gifts God has given us in our context to serve him, and he will do great things through us. When we boldly step out in faith, the Holy Spirit gives us power and goes with us. My favourite verse in the Bible is in Hebrews, and it says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. We're not running this race alone. We are never alone. God is with us. God is with us as we step out. God is with us all the time. And his final words were, be diligent and faithful. Now, some people in Paul's circle were not faithful and diligent, and he could not depend on them. And I'm sure there have been people in our lives at times where, oh, do you know, we just can't depend on them. And in 2 Timothy 4, verse 16, it says, at my first defense, no one came to my support. This is Paul. Everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. You know, we are never alone. When people desert us, when people let us down, God stands by our side and gives us strength. Notice his forgiving attitude there. And so here we see that Luke and Timothy were Paul's closest friends, faithful and diligent friends. And Paul ended the final chapter in his book and in his life by greeting those who were nearest and dearest to him. And although Paul spent most of his life travelling, he really did develop good, deep relationships and lasting friendships. And sometimes for us, I know for myself, too often we can rush through our day barely touching anyone's lives. But sure, like Paul, let's take time to weave our lives into the lives of others and develop deep and lasting relationships and friendships. And this takes perseverance, doesn't it? Especially in our fast-paced, busy world. Let's take time, let's persevere to clear the diary for the people that we love. And also it is to be diligent and faithful in our commitments and in our ministry. And I can say, as part of this church for the last 20 years, it has been such a privilege to be part of a people who are faithful, who are diligent. And it's great, you know, apart from occasionally forgetting things like I've done in the past, you know. We say we're going to do it, we're going to do it. We say we're going to be there, we'll be there. We say we're going to do something, we'll fulfill it and we'll give it our best shot. And that is a real privilege, and it's great to be part of a people who really live this, and that is fantastic. So persevere in being diligent and faithful. Now, Paul was aware of his weaknesses and the frailty of the flesh, and aren't we? I certainly am. We all know what it feels like when we get tired, despondent, beaten down by circumstances. But he says, if we are faithless, God remains faithful because he has made promises to us. He knows when soldiers get weary in battle, athletes get tired, the best of farmers don't get everything done on time. But God knows our frame and God sees our heart. When we determine to keep on keeping on and we falter or fail, he is there to carry us on. He still remains faithful. A little bit like the clip where the father came to the aid of his son and, you know, sort of ran with him to the finishing line. We are never alone. The Holy Spirit gives us power and goes with us. Now, when we think of some people in the Bible who really persevered, there are loads, aren't there? Right through the Old Testament, the New Testament. And we can glean so much in terms of perseverance from these people. I mean, when you think of Moses, how much he had to persevere. Not did he have like a whole load of people moaning and groaning at him and accusing him of things, but how many times did he have to go to Pharaoh? You know, let my people go. 10 times he had to go. And, you know, talk about perseverance and wanting to feel like, oh, this is not for me. Pick somebody else, please, God. And wanting to throw in the towel and run away. But he continued to obey, and his perseverance and his persistence was rewarded. And when we think of Joseph, I love the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. He rose in power from slave to ruler of Egypt. He was falsely accused and imprisoned for years. And yet he persevered in what? What the thing that comes through about Joseph is that he persevered in his personal integrity. He persevered. And then he prepared a nation to survive a famine. Life-changing, nation-changing people because of perseverance. So why we don't give up? As people who believe in God, as believers, as Christians, we are running a race. We are running on this earth in a life towards something. And we are running towards a heavenly reward. In 1 Corinthians 9, it's not that one, it talks about a crown that will last forever. We are running this race for a crown that will last forever. A number of years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, as a family, we were on our way to a friend's engagement party. So we decided to get dressed, get ready, and get a card and a present on the way because we're such an organised family. That's what we did. So we were all dressed, ready to go to an engagement party. So 5, 6 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, we drove down to Trostra Retail Park, very busy time of the day. And on the way down, I was sat in the back with Naomi, who's my daughter, who was about 3 or 4 at the time, and the boys were in the car as well. And I don't know about other young families here, but at that time, our car did resemble a pigsty. There was lots of like crisp packets, empty bottles of water, empty bottles of milk, toys, books, you know, all sorts of things on the back seat and on the floor. Anyone relate to that? No, of course not, because you're also clean and tidy. And so me and Naomi were just reading stories, and she had this little pink, pretty crown, this little girly pink crown that you get in fancy dress shops. So this big, silver, blingy, full of feathers and pink gemstones. And we were putting it on each other and teasing each other. And that was that. And then we pull up to Trostra. Adam says, right, I'll stay in the car with the kids. You run into Next, get a nice something for so-and-so. So off I go, out of the car, into Next, walk around the shop, pick up a nice photo frame. Everyone's looking at me strange, like, what's strange? I've got 2 heads or something. Walk upstairs, pay for my goods. The lady at the till is kind of semi-smirking and semi-being a little bit friendly. So I pack up the goods, say thank you very much, have a little browse, walk out, see somebody I know, hi, how are you? Walk through the car park, and there is Adam with the children in the car, hysterical, laughing their heads off, because mother has the little pink plastic blingy, fluffy crown on her head. So we have to persevere sometimes in our families, don't we? have to put up with a lot sometimes. And so, you know, that crown was a plastic, flimsy little thing that in due time snapped and cracked and ended up in the bin. But as believers and as we run this race, we are running towards a heavenly reward through a crown that will last forever. In Galatians 6:7-10, it talks about the one who sows to please the Spirit will reap eternal life. And Paul encourages us to keep on doing good and to trust God for the results. In due time, we will reap a harvest of good things. We will live and reign with Jesus forever. Strong character develops as we struggle through tough conditions. God encourages persistence in all areas of our lives. Winston Churchill. Now, when Winston Churchill was young, people would question his intellectual ability. And yet this man rose in power and took this country through its darkest hour. And one day, on giving a public address, he stood up and said this, "Never, never, never quit." And then he sat down. That was it. Never, never, never quit. And then he sat down. Matthew 10, verse 22 says, "Men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved." Persevering to the end is not a way to receive salvation, because when we receive salvation, when we come into that relationship with God, it is simply by grace and it is a free gift. We don't have to strive, we don't have to run, we don't have to do anything, try to be good, because Jesus died on the cross for the things that we do wrong as a gift. God sent his own son into this world that we may have a relationship with him, that we can have our past cleansed, all the things that we say, do and think wrong, forgiven, and we can enter into a friendship with God that starts here on earth but lasts for eternity. And so it is by grace that we are saved. It is by grace that we are accepted as a sort of into God's family. But persevering to the end is evidence that a person is truly committed to Jesus, and it is the byproduct of a truly devoted life. And so let's not be defeated by circumstances. Let's not be defeated by the enemy. Let's cultivate a persevering attitude as we are created to live an overcoming life. So why don't we just pray? You know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize, so run to win. All those who compete in the games use self-control so they can win a crown. That crown is an earthly thing that lasts only a short time, but our crown will never be destroyed. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that your love is so real, that the life we live on this earth is made with great purpose because of you. Lord, you persevered in many things, and you teach your people to persevere too. And Lord, sometimes it can be hard. We want to give up and walk the other way. But Lord, I just pray right now for every person here that if they are struggling in whatever it is, that you would come to their side, Lord. May they know and feel your tangible presence, that they would persevere and go the distance knowing that you are with them. Lord, I thank you so much that we are never alone, that you are with us, and that when we run this race here on earth, it is for a heavenly reward that will last for eternity. And that ultimately, when we pass from this earth, we will live with you forever, to reign and live with you, Jesus, face to face. I thank you so much for that wonderful gift. Amen.